Yesterday we concluded the fourth ruku of Surah An-Nahl, verses 33 and 34. Let's do a quick recap. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. Are the unbelievers waiting for the angels to come upon them, or that the command of your sustainer reaches them? كَذَلِكَ فَعْلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. This is how those who were before them behaved. وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah did not wrong them, however they continued wronging themselves. Allah is asking a rhetorical question. You know, the answer is within the question. It's emphasized that why are you waiting until the angels of death come? Why do you not take advantage of the respite which Allah is giving you and reform yourself? Repent from polytheism. Repent from denying the message of the messengers of Allah. Repent from transgressing the commands and the limits of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because when the angels of death come, then it will be too late. And this is the exact mistake that the people before them made as well. And we need to learn. Every nation needs to learn from the nations that preceded them. Allah says, وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهِ. It's not Allah that has wronged them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They wrong themselves by continuously doing wrong and staying in wrong. And then afterwards, when they see the consequences, then they want to repent, but it's too late. فَأَصَابَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا. The evil actions then fell upon them. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And that which they used to scoff at turned upon them. Now, like I said, the ulama have written in the tafsir of this verse that in the end you strike at your feet with your own axe. You bring these consequences upon yourself. You cannot blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, starting ruku number 5, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, verse 35, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. The polytheists say, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ نَحْنُ وَلَا أَبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ. That had Allah willed, we would not have worshipped anything apart from Him, neither we nor our forefathers, and neither would we have forbidden anything without His command. كَذَلِكَ فَعَلَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah again says, this is how those who were before them behaved. Same story. And then Allah concludes, فَهَلْ عَلَى الرُّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. So the messengers have no responsibility but to clearly convey the message. What the mushrikeen used to say, they say, okay, you say everything happens by the will of Allah. So if everything happens by the will of Allah, why did Allah not will for us not to commit shirk and for us to become Muslims like you? The fact that Allah allowed us to worship idols, us and our forefathers, shows that Allah has no issue with it. If Allah had an issue with it, Allah would not have willed for us to do it in the first place, because Allah does not like it. Allah does not approve of it. And secondly, if we did it, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have punished us immediately. So they would say, the fact that we are allowed to continue with our shirk, us and our forefathers for generations and centuries, and the fact that we were not punished for it immediately, the first time we prostrated before an idol, that shows that there's nothing wrong with it. Now this is an absurd excuse, and there's no meaningful proof here. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is providing a refutation of this. What is the refutation? Allah has sent messengers from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to refute exactly this. The core function of every Nabi that came was to call towards Tawheed, belief and practice in Tawheed, in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the uniqueness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And every Nabi that came highlighted what was right and what was wrong, and the consequences of what was wrong and the rewards of what was right. And previous nations were given respite so that they could repent, and after they were given respite, they were punished. So you need to take lesson from that. Allah does not need to punish someone immediately, instantly, if they do something that's wrong. There's no logic in that. They're given an opportunity. And the fact that Allah allows you to do it doesn't mean that it's right, because Allah has put in place a system where you are to be tested. You are to be given a choice. And according to how you exercise your choice, you will be rewarded or you will be punished. So there's no basis to this excuse or to this argument, but this is an excuse and an argument that the polytheists used to put forward. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes reference to this, that they say, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَحِيرَةٍ وَلَا سَائِبَةٍ وَلَا وَسِيلَةٍ وَلَا حَامٍ. That, you know, all of these different idols Allah allowed our forefathers and us to worship them. And if Allah had willed, we would not have ascribed partners to him, nor our forefathers. Neither would we have declared anything forbidden. Here, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't give a detailed response. And the scholars write the reason for that is because the claim is so absurd, it doesn't require a detailed response. Here, Allah is consoling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَهَلْ عَلَى الرُّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. So the messengers have no responsibility but to clearly convey the message. So the messengers have no responsibility but to clearly convey the message. Meaning that your job, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the Anbiya before you, was to convey the message. Now if they're going to come up with all of these excuses and arguments, then you have done your job and you have fulfilled your responsibility.